Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you with us as we are planning to begin a brand new study today on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, and instead of doing the formal introduction, let's get straight into the Word, shall we? Grab your copy of God's Word. We're going to be beginning in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 is where we are going to start out in. We're mainly going to focus on Daniel 1, 2, and 3, at least in these next couple of lessons. I want us to study Daniel and his friends, and we're going to eventually lead up to Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And we're going to see how they show courage, how courage is exemplified. But before we do that, as is commonplace here on this program and when I just teach in general from God's Word, I always make it a point that we understand the background, we understand who the characters are that we are talking about, and then we look at the story. So begin with me in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 1, please. I'll be reading from the King James translation. The Bible says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it." Now, these events happening here happen in about 605 B.C. is when they start. And you may say, well, that's fine and dandy, but how does that bear on my life? Well, if you have a basic understanding of Old Testament the timetable, or chronologically speaking, Isaiah, for instance, happens at 700 years. He's 700 years before Christ. Daniel's events happen 600 years before the time of Christ. And that's very important when we get to chapter 2. But here we see the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, comes to Jerusalem, besieges it. And notice verse 2, and I have a word underlined in verse 2, and I encourage you, if you mark in your Bible, to underline this word. Watch this. "And the Lord gave," underline gave, "and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand," that's Nebuchadnezzar's hand, "with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God." Why are we underlined and gave? Well, we see that God allowed this to happen. Why? Did he just particularly like Nebuchadnezzar? Well, no, Nebuchadnezzar's a wicked man, but we see God's people had strayed away from his commands, and so because of that, they're punished, and one of their punishments is they're given into their enemy's hands. Now, I want you to note, because what happens is they take, verse 3, the children, and in verse 4, "in which there is no blemish, but they're well-favored, they're skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and they had the ability to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." Remember, you're going to have kids that are going to be 12 to 15 years old. They're going to be the best kids out there, and they're going to be plucked up so they can teach their captors their native tongue and also be inundated and just about half a step away of being brainwashed from this new way of life. And so among these children, verse 6, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and unto the prince of the eunuchs gave names, verse 7, for unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, Hananiah of Shadrach, of Mishael, Meshach, and as of Azariah the name of Abednego. So you think about Daniel and his three friends. At this point, they're about 12 to 15, so middle school age. Now, Daniel's name means God is my judge. But I want you to note what they're doing. They're changing their Hebrew names into a foreign name, a Babylonian name, if you will. And so Daniel's name is changed to Belteshazzar. Baal is a pagan god, and it means that Baal protects his life. But yet Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah means Yahweh, the formal name for God, hath been gracious. Shadrach, it is changed to Shadrach, which means the command of Elon. He's one of the moon gods that the Babylonians worshipped. Mishael means who is what El is. El is one way of writing God in the Old Testament, or Jehovah or Yahweh. So Mishael means who is what El is. They change it to Meshach. And Meshach literally means who is this. Notice they're trying to remove every sense of their culture and every mention of the God of heaven from their names. And Azariah means Yahweh has helped. His name's changed to Abednego, means the servant of the god Nabor. So they've changed their names. Now here's what's interesting. Throughout the rest of the book, save one or two instances, Daniel retains his name of Daniel. But we don't refer to them as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You know the story as well as I do. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I find that interesting, maybe because Daniel's the one telling the story, maybe because it's easier to remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know. But regardless, their names are changed. Now notice verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear the Lord my king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? And then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. So they're trying to provide them food. There's a good chance that this meat has been offered to idols. And they're not supposed to eat meat that has been offered to idols. And so Daniel says, let us eat what our God says. And this judge, this captain here says, I'm afraid that if you look worse, it's going to be my head on the chopping block. And so he says, prove thy servants, verse 12. Give us 10 days and let us eat this pulse. And then look at our countenance. In verse 15, at the end of this countenance, their appearances, they appeared fatter and fairer in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. What's the lesson here as we go to a break? Friends, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile the word of God. Are you willing to stand up for convictions such as Daniel and not go against what God has said, even if those in power over you say it's the right thing to do? That's your encouragement from Daniel here in the first part of our study. Let's pause. We'll continue reading the Word in just a minute.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking around with us. We're continuing to read the Word. We're in Daniel chapter 1, working our way to the story of the fiery furnace. We've just talked about how Daniel and his friends, they purposed they would not defile themselves with a portion of the king's meat, and they wind up looking better than all of those around them. What I find interesting in verse 17 of Daniel chapter 1, these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel has understanding in all visions and dreams. And so we see that these three, plus Daniel, they have better ability than those around them. And God is working in the affairs of man to elevate these three and Daniel into certain positions of power that will play out through the rest of the book. Now, in the second chapter of the book of Daniel, and we will just hit the high points of this, because our lesson is really intently focused upon the third chapter, but we need to understand the second. In the second year of the king, in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamed, chapter 2, verse 1, and he was troubled, and his sleep broke from him. You know, it's not the first time people in the Bible have had troubling dreams. Pharaoh had many troubling dreams. The baker, the butler, there in the book of Genesis had terrifying dreams. Pilate's wife was warned in a dream that Pilate shouldn't be doing what he was doing, but Pilate didn't listen to his wife. We see that he calls all, King Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 2, verse 2, calls all the magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, Chaldeans to show the king his dreams. Here's the kicker, though. These were on his personal payroll. He said, I have dreamed a dream. And they said, if you will tell us, verse 4, O king, if you will tell us the dream, then I'm going to paraphrase, we'll make up what it means. They don't really know. And he says, verse 5, the thing is gone from me. He says, first, you're going to have to tell me the dream, and then you're going to have to tell me what it means. And if you don't, you're going to be cut in pieces, literally drawn and quartered, and your houses are going to be made a dunghill. Well, that's going to kind of startle me there if you can't get it. But if you interpret it, if you tell it to me and interpret it, you'll receive gifts and rewards, great honor. So show me the dream. And so none of his people, verse 10, they say, there is not a man upon the earth that can show this the king's matter. There is no ruler, astrologer, magician, or a Chaldean. It is a rare thing that the king requireth. They say nobody can do it. But somebody says Daniel can. And so Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom in verse 14. And he said, I will go and tell you the dream. Now here's the kicker. Daniel prays to God so he can understand not only what the dream was, but what the dream meant. And so in this dream, King Nebuchadnezzar has sees a mighty statue. And this statue looks funny because we see in verse 31, he says, Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. The great image, his brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. Not terrible in the sense we'd use it today. The image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms were of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. And thou sawest stone, which was cut out without hands, and the stone smote upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. This is the dream, he says. And now here's the interpretation. Thou, O king, he says, you are a king. You are the gold. You're the first part. He says, but there's going to come up a kingdom after you. And that kingdom is going to be the arms of silver. And then there's going to come another kingdom. The Medes and the Persians are going to team up, and his belly and his thighs are going to be of brass. And then notice the fourth kingdom will be strong as iron. That fourth kingdom is going to be the Roman Empire, friends. And so much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdued all things, iron breaketh in these, it shall break in pieces and bruise. Daniel is saying that Nebuchadnezzar, you've seen a foretelling of the next 600 years. Well, he doesn't say that, but it's a foretelling of the next 600 years of kingdoms. Oh, by the way, that stone which was cut without hands, that represents Jesus Christ establishing his church. It's going to come in during the Roman Empire. Guess who was in charge of the known world when Jesus Christ was born and lived on this earth? Oh, by the way, that's the Romans. Friends, that is the interpretation of this dream. Now, Nebuchadnezzar doesn't understand all of it, but he does fall down on his face, verse 46, and he does worship Daniel. And he commanded that they should offer, make sweet odors unto Daniel. And Daniel said, of a truth it is. King says to Daniel, of a truth, your God is a God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. Then he made Daniel a mighty man. And Daniel helps out his friends. And Daniel says, I'm a mighty man, but I need my friends to be mighty men as well. So he makes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in positions of high power. Nobody could interpret this dream except that God be with him. And so that's going to set the scene for what we will have to begin in our next study, because I was afraid time was going to escape us on this. What's going to happen is this interpretation is going to lead King Nebuchadnezzar into making a new statue. And he's not going to completely understand everything that God has commanded, everything that God has said to do, because he's pagan-minded, and that's going to work out to be his downfall. But what do we learn in Daniel 1, Daniel 2? Purpose in your heart not to defile yourself with worldly things. And 2, always go to God when you need help. Don't go to somebody on your payroll who says, well, they're just going to tell me what I want to hear, and that's what I want to hear. No, always go to God and his word when you're in a time of trouble. Next time we meet, if the good Lord wills, we will continue our study beginning in Daniel chapter 3, looking at the science behind the fiery furnace. Between now and then, I'll leave you as I always do. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.